Welcome to Coaching with Dr. Jane. And today it's my privilege to be talking with Linda, who is parenting her grandson. And she'll tell us a little bit more about that. But first, I just want to say, welcome, Linda.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
And I want to mention that by being willing to share our session with others, you are now a co-teacher with me, or a co-coach, I guess you could say, because there will be many people out there who have a similar situation, even though not exact, and they will learn from what we do together. So thank you for joining me in that effort.
Oh, I'm glad. That's a very good thing, and for others too. I know that's how I help. It helps me learn.
So tell us just a little bit about your situation and the challenge that you're having.
Well, the grandson has been in a home for a few years where he has a stepfather and his mother, and he has been treated with punishment, and it just, it's not going anywhere. When he was small, his grandfather and I, his grandfather's spanked him for something, and he just went hysterical, and he said, when he was spanked, he went hysterical, and my husband and I looked at each other, and we go, this doesn't work. He had no idea why he had been spanked, and we said, you know, that's just not going to work. Something else has to be done. Well, now in the home that he's in, it's the same sort of thing, and they are getting nowhere with him, so I suggested that he come and stay with us for a while, get him out of the home environment, work with positive discipline with him, and see where he can come from there.
Well, I must say, I certainly admire you for being willing to do that. And obviously you have quite a bond with this child and now want to give him that positive experience. So what are some of the challenges that you're having that you'd like to work with today?
Oh, my biggest concern is bedtime. He's an ADD child, and of course, he is on the Concerta, so when that wears off at 7 o'clock or whatever, then bedtime comes after that, and he is just way out there. He's in another zone. He's wild, and you can't get inside his head. He's just real spaced. So to try to get him to even follow his own routines that he set, it's not a good thing. It's pretty impossible. So his bedtime set at 9 o'clock, a lot of times doesn't actually happen until about midnight before he falls asleep.
So if we were in front of an audience right now, I would ask how many other people have problems with bedtime? And I could tell you, you would see a lot of hands being raised. So, this could be a very common problem. So would you describe exactly what happens at bedtime? Who does what? Who says what? Then what happens?
Well, the one thing that I don't understand is, how do I take my time out and get myself back together when I feel like the minutes are ticking past and he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing? And
well, Linda, you're getting ahead of yourself right now. First, let's go over the scene, exactly what happens, because we'll find a lot of clues there about what and how you can do it. What you can do and how you can do it. So what happens? Describe the bedtime.
Well, he just kind of sort of goes from here to there. He bounces from subject to subject and item to item. And
well, wait a minute. Let's start right from at what time? What time is bedtime?
Well, now that school has started, he should be sleeping by 9:30, hopefully.
Okay, so you would like him to be sleeping by 9:30.
Yes.
So when does bedtime start? When do you start the bedtime routine, or what is your bedtime routine?
Well, at 8:30, I like to tell him that he has a half an hour before he needs to be in bed. Does he want a snack? What else? Is there anything he needs to do?
And then what happens? And then what happens when you tell him he has to start getting ready for bed? What happens then?
Nothing.
What does nothing look like? Tell me what he's doing.
Oh, he's going to the other side of the room, playing with something, maybe turning the TV channel, maybe headed toward the computer, just going his own way.
Does he say anything, or when he's doing all this in response to you? When you say it's time to start getting ready for bed, does he not say anything, or does he just ignore you?
No, he doesn't say anything. He just kind of has that dazed look on his face, and he heads off for something else.
Okay, so he just sort of ignores you and does his own thing. And then what do you do or say?
Well, I say, would you like a snack? Would you, before you go to bed, what else could we do to help you relax a little bit before you go into bed? And we usually, I read to him for a little while too before he goes to sleep. And he also should be brushing his teeth, and this was half hour, but he's just in a daze.
Okay, so what happens when you tell him to go brush his teeth?
It takes a very long time for him to amble over into the bathroom and get his teeth brushed.
And what do you do to finally get him to do it?
Oh, boy. I try to stay calm, but, you know, I don't understand how this child, who has been listening to me during the day, who wants to be helpful, who wants to do what needs to be done, turns around and becomes this other creature, and I have no idea what to do with this other creature, so I just get really frustrated.
Okay, I have some clues. So, would you, I know you have your copy of Positive Discipline, would you turn to page 71?
Yes.
And what we have there is the mistaken goal chart.
Yes.
And a lot of this is about getting into the child's world and also learning to identify the mistaken goal. And what we mean by mistaken goal is that when children want to find belonging and significance, which is the primary goal, and for whatever reason they don't think they have belonging and significance, they try in mistaken ways to get this belonging and significance. So the first clue for his mistaken goal is how you feel. So would you look down that second column and see which group of feelings come closest to how you feel? Do you feel annoyed, irritated, worried, guilty? Or do you feel provoked, challenged, threatened, defeated? Or do you feel hurt, disappointed, disbelieving, disgusted? Or do you feel despair, hopeless, helpless, and inadequate?
Yes.
Pick one group that comes the closest.
Probably the annoyed and irritated.
And
because
so,
I really don't feel provoked.
Okay, so, and as you go to the next column, do you just spend a lot of time reminding and coaxing and doing things for, oh, there was a recognition reflex, that little giggle of yours.
Yes, there was.
So that's what you do. And yes. Is his response to stop temporarily, but later resumes the same or another kind of behavior?
Oh, my, yes.
Okay, so what we're finding is that his mistaken goal could be, and I want to emphasize could be, because we just want to use this as a working hypothesis. It could be undue attention, where his belief is, I count or belong only when I'm being noticed or getting special service. I'm only important when I'm keeping you busy with me. Do you think it's possible that that could be going on in his little subconscious? I don't think that he's consciously aware of it, but I just think that that could be what's going on. So like I said, we'll use that as a working hypothesis. And one of the things to do that's very encouraging to a child who has this mistaken goal is to help them get attention in useful ways, in ways that help them feel capable. So I'm going to give you a few ideas. And then I would just love it if in a week we could talk about this again and see how it works.
Okay.
Okay, so the first thing is to get him involved in creating the routine chart. Now, this means you do not do it for him. You sit down with him and you ask him, what are some of the things that need to be done before you go to bed? And he'll say things like, get my jammies on, put my toys, whatever it is, it's okay for you to say, what about? After he's thought of as many things as he can think of that needs to be done, and I am going to suggest some things that you make sure do go on there with your what about, and that would be, what about brushing your teeth? What about getting your things ready for tomorrow, picking out the clothes you want to wear tomorrow? So that he has this list of things to do. And you help him create a routine, bedtime routine chart. And one of the things that is really fun to do you have a digital camera?
Yes.
It can be really fun to take pictures of him doing each one of the tasks. You know, I forgot. I want to make sure. How old is he?
He's going to be 12 in 1 month.
I still think that even a 12-year-old at first, that this might appeal to him.
Especially when we're looking for attention.
Right, and helping create the chart. And when people have, I am going to go back and say, instead of saying he is ADD, say some of the behaviors that he has, because you want to avoid labels. Like,
okay.
For instance, he has a difficult time focusing, because then you can work with skills that help him deal with those tendencies. So that's just a little aside backup. But sometimes kids who are of this age like to draw pictures of them doing each of the tasks, or sometimes just having the list. But you can ask him, do you think it would be fun to have pictures of you doing each one of these tasks that would be part of your routine chart? Or would you like to draw the pictures? We'll get a big poster board and we'll list all these things, and so that it either has a picture of him, or he's drawn pictures, or he even just has the list. Now, the point is that this is his bedtime chart. And then you post it on his door or somewhere where he can see it. And then this is the way you use it. What is next on your routine chart, on your bedtime routine chart? Instead of you telling him, you ask him, what is next? Can you get the feeling of why that would be important?
Yes.
Tell me what your thoughts are on why that might be important.
Because he made this chart. This is his ideas, not mine.
Exactly.
Right.
Keep going.
Well, it was kind of like the other evening when he was having a hard time falling asleep, and his grandfather and I looked at each other and go, we think we've been saying this wrong. All right, Dylan, you know, we're not telling you to go to bed at this time or how to go to bed because we're the big people. We're telling you because this is just something we would do ourselves. This is how we would handle it ourselves. Your papa goes to bed early on Sunday night because he gets up earlier on Monday morning. And that's kind of what we're trying to tell you. So I know that kind of thing, I was feeling like we were telling him what to do. And then, so you know, it's his idea, and with the chart, it comes back to that.
Exactly. See, that is so empowering. Most of us, when people tell us what to do and how to do it and when to do it, we feel resistant. It's like we lose our sense of ourselves. We lose our sense of feeling involved, of power. And power is not a bad thing. It's how it's used. So we want to teach our children to use their power in useful ways. So asking him what is next and then what, and it gives him the power to follow something that he helped create. And kids are much more motivated to follow something that they have been involved with. And if it doesn't work, which I would be surprised if it doesn't, then you just go back to him and you sit down and you have family meetings where you talk about what is the problem and what is the solution. So this is just one little tool that is of creating a routine chart with him. Could you see how you could also use this for morning routines?
We have, I've made two, like, half sheets of the 8.5 by 11 and put them in plastic slips. So he's got one by his alarm clock and one in the bathroom on the counter of his morning routine that he created. But
wait a minute. Okay, so go ahead. Say what you just said. Say that a little louder. I didn't hear you.
But he likes to change it in the morning.
Well, this, back up. Did I hear you say that you made these charts?
Well, I printed them on the computer.
Exactly. You made them.
Oh, okay. Light bulb.
Right. Oh, good. You're such a fast learner. So what would you need to do? How could you change that so that he's involved?
We'll sit down and he will... And I'm sure he will want to make his own chart with his own pictures.
Bingo. And he's old enough to do that. It's like, wouldn't it be fun if he got real creative even on the computer and he, first of all, he makes the list. Does he use a computer? Does he type?
Yes.
Because I was going to say, otherwise he could dictate. For anybody who's listening and they have younger children, they can dictate. And that's where if he wanted you to take pictures of him doing it, then you just insert those right there in the chart. Or if he wants to go get pictures from somewhere else out in the computer land, the internet, he could do that. But you got the whole point is that he makes it. And then when it's on the computer, if he wants to change it, say it in a week, he says, oh, I see some things I'd like to improve or change. Okay, you go make changes, you print out a new one. But the point is that it's his chart. You got that one big time, didn't you?
Yes. Just that mom thing just doesn't want to let go sometimes.
Exactly. And, you know, we do that with good intentions. We think that we're doing our jobs to be more involved. And yet what it really is taking away from what we really want is for our children to learn to believe I'm capable. Now, how can they believe they are capable if we're always doing things for them, showing how capable we are, what good parents, what good grandparents? So Dreikers used to say, don't do anything for a child that a child can do for him or herself. And this is exactly what he's talking about. It doesn't mean that you can't ever do something for someone, but the point is that we rob them of the opportunity to believe I'm capable from their own experiences of being capable. You can't just tell a child you're capable. They have to believe it from their own experiences.
And that's what's happened a lot at home, is that everything was just done for him because it's quicker, more efficient, because he's slow.
Exactly. And then the other thing is, instead of you telling him, this slight little shift of instead of telling him what's on his routine chart, ask him what's next on your routine chart.
Well, how do you go about... And he's going to pick a time that he starts getting ready for bed. Is that right?
No. That doesn't need to be part of it. It's like... together, maybe you could work on when his bedtime needs to be in order for him to get enough sleep.
Right.
And do you think that he would agree with 9:30?
Well, that's his idea, is 9:30.
He thinks 9:30. Does that also work for you? Because, you know, one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of us make when we want to do positive discipline is that we go the extreme of being too kind without being firm.
Right.
We don't want to be punitive, so we sometimes get permissive. And
yeah.
So a key is to do things that work for both of you. And like, for instance, you may want time for yourself from 9 o'clock. When would you like to be able to quit being a grandparent and just be Linda for a while?
Oh, I usually like if I have an hour, 10 to 11, that works well for me.
Okay, you know, so in other words,
I use more, but yeah, it's
well, you but Linda, I am going to tell you that when you start with one little thing where you really create success, it really carries on into so many other things. And don't get hooked into thinking about all the big problems. It just makes it seem overwhelming. But if you say, okay, in one little area, we're going to both work for success. But the point I was making is that you want to do a bedtime that works for both of you. And if 9:30 works for both of you, that's fine. Because if that still gives you plenty of time. And if he thought he could even go till 10, say, that would work for me so long as you're in your room by 9:30 so that I have time to myself, because
well,
that's important to me.
You're supposed to be, I thought an hour was plenty of time to get ready for school.
You got what? I'm sorry.
I thought an hour was plenty of time to get ready for school. This morning, well, yesterday morning he told me it wasn't enough, but I didn't listen because I figured he just didn't get any sleep the night before. So last night he was sleeping by 9 with the help of medication that he had been prescribed, which I don't like giving him. But so when he woke up the next morning, I figured an hour is 20. He informed me again this morning, Grammy, I need to get up at 6, not 6:30.
Now, are you willing to listen to him? It's like, remember, I mean, to me, boy, he's really letting you know what he needs. Why would you object to that? Because you don't want to get up that early?
I get up at 6, and I like that half hour. But, you know, I'm thinking that once he gets it going, once he, you know, gets a routine going steady here, he won't need that much time. But right now, he's trying to get it all together. That morning routine, he wants to change it just a little bit. This morning he wanted breakfast in bed.
Ask you, how would his getting up a half hour early interfere with your having a half hour of time to yourself?
I had thought about that, and I decided he goes to school 7:30, and I have time after he goes to school.
Wait a minute. Let's back up here. Why can't you have time while he's getting ready for school? He doesn't need you involved in his getting ready for school.
Oh, my, I'm trying not to so hard. But it has been so many years of, you know, this isn't the way I raised my children.
But you know what? Your grandson's going to be a great motivation for you to do this, because you want him to learn to be capable and to feel capable.
Yes.
And as long as you're mega-managing everything, or meta-managing, I forget which is the correct word, but as long as you're in there, do you know what I used to do when my kids were getting ready for school? I'd go take a shower, a long shower, and get ready myself so that they learned to be responsible, because they weren't in there always resisting me trying to stick my fingers in everything that they did.
Yeah, I know.
So what you could work out with him is, okay, I would love to have you honor you wanting to get up, which, by the way, you get him an alarm clock and teach him how to set it, or he'll teach you.
No.
Let him get himself up.
I presented him with a problem a long while back. It says Grammy needs Dylan to get up within 10 minutes of the time she wakes him up. And then we had solution ideas we listed. And he came up with 3 ideas. We came up with a 4th one, he and I both, but we didn't write it down. And that was to dump a glass of water over his head, which he thought, you know, we both thought was kind of funny there, a little humor in the situation. But he chose a really loud alarm clock, and that's what he's done ever since, is he sets his alarm clock at night, and he gets himself up in the morning.
Okay. So where is it that you start intruding and interfering?
When he's been in bed for 15 minutes, not doing anything. And I'm thinking, oh, no. It took him a half hour yesterday to eat breakfast. He only has...
Wait a minute. I missed something. You're saying that he goes ahead and sets his alarm clock. Mm-hmm. But then he still wants you to come in and wake him up.
No, I don't.
Well,
we
then
have,
what is the problem here?
I don't. Too.
What?
He said, and Grammy, if that doesn't work, he says, come in and open my curtains and my window shades. So after a certain period of time, I go in, open the curtains and the window shades, and walk back out of the room.
Wait a minute. He's telling you that he needs to get up a half hour earlier, but he's not willing to take that risk. But he wants you to take responsibility for getting him up. Is that correct?
I hope not. I don't.
Well, at that, this isn't about hoping. This is what is happening.
I'm not.
What is happening?
I'm still walking in there.
What?
I'm still walking in there, regardless.
All right, so, Linda, you probably know what I'm going to say here, don't you?
Well, yeah, I guess, but...
What am I going to tell you?
I don't know. You need to just say it.
You need to just stay out of it. So, first of all, he's come up with a plan to set his alarm. And if he needs to get up earlier, what you need to do is sit down and break. Okay, I'm willing to help you figure out how you can accomplish that. I have faith in you that you can do this, and I'm willing to help you come up with some ideas. But I'm not willing to take responsibility for it.
Okay.
So you support him in brainstorming. You support him in experiencing the consequences of what happens when he doesn't. Now, do you see the difference in allowing him to experience consequences and in imposing consequences on him? What would happen if he's late?
Well, let me back up and give you some history.
We really don't need history. We really don't. I'm not saying that history is important, but for solving a problem, you just focus on what needs to be done right now, and it's sometimes to come up with all kinds of history is an excuse for why we think it won't work.
Right. Because he's been... I have a fear. And that's
what is your fear? That
he'll fall back into what he's been doing in the past few years, and that's not going to school. Not getting out of the car when he's at school, not being dragged into the school.
Does he like the school he's going to now?
Well, yesterday was his first day, and it was a very good day. And today, yesterday, he says, "And I'm ready for a good second day tomorrow."
Well, you know what? He told me, you told me that he... wanted to get up early. He must want to get up early because for a reason.
There you go. Okay.
Okay, so let's just tackle one problem at a time.
Okay.
Actually, we're doing two, both the bedtime and the morning. And in the bedtime you're going to do the routine charts. You're going to focus on him solving the problem. And by the way, when you have a fear that there's another problem, you just go back to the same old thing. We have a problem. What ideas do you have for solutions? Let's brainstorm till we figure it out. And and helping him figure out why it's beneficial to him. Oh, there is one other thing. It's like when he's having a hard time getting asleep, his grandpa was really close. But just to help him figure out through what we call curiosity questions. And it would be, what is the problem and what ideas do you have to solve the problem? Why do you think it's a good idea to get more sleep? What problems might you have if you don't get enough sleep? You get the idea. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's what I call, drawing forth. Actually, education comes from the root word, Latin word, educare, which means to draw forth. It's also called the Socratic method. But see, too often we're trying to stuff in, and then we wonder why it goes in one ear and out the other. So if you help him figure it out, it's also what I call helping kids explore the consequences of their choices instead of imposing consequences on them. Big difference. Because when we impose consequences, we're usually just trying to disguise punishment and calling it consequence. But to help kids explore, well, what will happen if I don't get enough sleep? How will that affect me? And what do I need to do if I want a different result? So just those two things, getting the routine chart and always remembering to help him solve the problem with his ideas, of why it's important to him, what he's learned from mistakes, those kinds of things. So would you email me when you've tried this? And I think it would really be fun to do a follow-up of how it worked.
Good. I think so, too.
Okay.
Let you know how wonderfully this is going to work.
Oh, great, great. Well, thanks so much, Linda, and I look forward to hearing from you again.
Well, thank you. It's been very helpful.
Oh, good. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.